Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all to see, tell me what you think about it. I'm mixing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Here's why. I want you to get a hold to it because I'm blessed. Makes no difference. For your miracle. You know why? Because of the God that's in you. If you'll just get hold to this. Understand it. It's my only private mix. I want y'all to tell me what you think about it. Because here is Miss Hawthorne. Watch what she say. Listen to her. Listen what she said.
Wanna walk out?
She says this, isn't that just like love? Just like God. Just like God. Just like God. And then Charlie Wilson said this. He said, you know, I know God was with me, so he realized he was blessed. And Mike said this. This is what Pastor Mike said. I got it. That's my provider. Can't nobody do me like the Lord do me. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. I hope you all enjoyed that mix. Did a little mix there on my own. Hallelujah. I just like to praise God, you know, just praise him. That's how, when I think about his goodness. See, when I think about where he brought me from, it's not even an option. Am I going to praise God? I have to praise him. And I mean, you know, David made it so to he just stopped praising God till he got naked. Whew, that's some praising right there. But Heavenly Father, we come with thanksgiving in our heart. Your word says in everything, give thanks. So we thank you, Father God, for the things that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for those that are you're healing. We thank you, Father God, for your promises. Because in all your promise, your word says that you make all grace abound toward us. And we know, Father God, that that means your grace is with us no matter what's going on. So we thank you for it. We thank you, Father God, that all things are sufficient for us. We thank you, Father God, that all things are abounding for us. We thank you, Father God, that all things are working together for us, good, bad, and ugly. We thank you for it. We thank you, Father God, that we know at the end of the day, you got us. You got us, Father God. I know I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the fields. I'm blessed going in. I'm blessed going out. I lay my everything down. Because my rising up, you blessing me. I'm blessing my finances. I'm blessing my health. I'm blessing my relationship. I just know I'm blessed. All things are flourishing in you, Lord, because I'm blessed. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I thank you, Father God, that I'm blessed of the Lord for being an overcomer. You have made us an overcomer, so I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that we're blessed in every area of our lives. I thank you, Father God, that I receive what you got for us. I receive the blessings that you have for this broadcast. I thank you, Father God, that you will open the ears of those that ears are stopped, Heavenly Father. I know you will, because you're like you'll make them like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and they will bring their fruit in their season. I thank you, Father God, that their leaves shall also not wither. But whatever they do, Father God, they shall prosper. I thank you for it. I thank you for them being overcomers. We all are overcomers, Father God. And according to Psalms 1 and 3, Father God, the blessing of the Lord, your blessing is rich unto us. Your blessing, Heavenly Father, is blessed unto us with no sorrow. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, you bless us and you don't even think about it. And you don't regret it. I thank you for opening my eyes to wisdom, to knowledge, to your revelation. I'm careful, Father God, to give your name the praise and all these blessings, Father God. I ask in Christ's name, and we do pray, and everybody agreed with this prayer. They did say amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, brothers and sisters, we're going to go back. Just want to remind those that have not been with us. I'm charging you to thrive and don't just survive. I'm charging you today to thrive and not just survive, okay? Don't look at the problem. Know that you have the solution. Because, see, it's in that problem that you have the opportunity. Every time going forward, now, every time there's a problem, look for the solution. You can do that if you look forward. Look for the solution, not the problem. You already know it's a problem, so look for the solution in there, because there's something in there, because the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and call according to his purpose. So I know there's a solution there. I'm reminded of something I heard one time. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard it. It said that Jesus and Peter was walking down the streets of Jerusalem, and Peter, you know, he was the kind that always kind of looked things in a negative way at first until you got born again. Because, you know, when they was at the transfiguration, it was Peter who said, Lord, let's build three tabernacles. You ain't need but one. That was Christ. I mean, every time, Lord, I won't deny you. He says, before the cock crow three times, you're going to deny me. So Peter was that kind of person. But it said they was walking down the streets of Jerusalem, and Peter looked over and saw that dead dog. And he said, oh, Lord, that dead dog really smell. And Jesus looked over at the dead dog and said, he got some pretty teeth. So the moral of the story is how you look at a situation. You can look for the good in the thing, or you can look for the bad. So that's what we're kind of talking about, brothers and sisters. We're looking for the good in things. We're looking at the opportunity to take advantage of it. Somebody may say, well, you know, you don't have this and you don't have that. Well, hey, well, wait a minute. It taught me that I can survive. See, you look for the opportunity in a thing. You look how you can be an overcomer in a thing. You look for wisdom, knowledge, and it goes on and on and on. So stop looking at things as a problem. Because, see, that's what happened to sin. God didn't look at sin as a problem. That was a solution. Oh, if they die, I raise them from the dead. So if you be risen with Christ, yeah. See, God used death to bring us back to him. Oh, shuck it now. I said God used death because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So God took that same thing that killed us and caused life to come to us. Yeah. That's why we have to die. But we're going to go on with the lesson and this week's lesson, and the subject is and let me say this again, too. Don't cheat yourself out of what's yours. Stop cheating yourself out of what's yours. Righteousness is yours. It's yours. You don't have to work for it. Just do like the tag team does, you know, just tag somebody. I like that when the Bible says we're more than conquerors. I just love that because all we have to do is tag up on the Lord. He's already defeated the devil. You ain't got to defeat him. You just call those things to be not as though they were. That's what you do. You just speak it and start agreeing with the word of God. I agree with the word of God. Satan, you are defeated. And God have rendered you powerless and made you an open show. Took all your power. Just start agreeing with the word of God, man, in every situation. See? That's what we have to do. That's why we look at the opportunity to express the things of God. We're going to start going to ask Evangelist Sister William if she'll read Colossians 2 and 8. And a few things that we want to unpack. We didn't get a chance to unpack everything, but the other part of that, why she find that, we were talking about the seven ways man can spoil Christian. So we still there. So we got all these little sidebar things going on here, but we want you to stay in tune, brothers and sisters, where we at here, okay? So, Evangelist Sister William, will you be so kind to read that for us?
Yes,
Colossians 2 and 8.
Yes, Pastor, Colossians 2 and 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Amen. Amen, Pastor.
Brothers and sisters, let me really try to bring this home to you today. You don't want to be spoiled through vain deceit. And I'm going to just say exactly what the word says. It first it tells you to be aware. Pay attention. Evangelist Renee, she don't ever let me forget that sermon I preached one time. And I think I have to think about it, even though she knows it on top of her head. But it's something like I had preached, and it says, pay attention. Let me see. Pay attention. See it through. All the way through. And when I read this today, that's what I think about. You have to pay attention. When he said beware, that means pay attention. Pay attention. Let any man spoil you through philosophy. See, this is stuff they'll use to spoil you, to get your good stuff. That's what it really is. It's to get the things that God has blessed you with inside, the things that God has made available for us. The enemy will try to steal it. So he says, don't beware. Don't let them do this. And here's how they're going to do them. And I list seven the other day, but I'm going to talk about a couple of them today. It says, through vain philosophy, we went over that a little bit, through vain deceit, and after the tradition of man. And that's the part that I kind of went through yesterday because of tradition. Man have made God to be out what he want God to be and presented him to us as if though we have to accept it. See, instead of them going according to the word of God, Acts 5:42 said they went from house to house, breaking bread, teaching people the truth, teaching them. And that's why Jesus said over there, I'll let y'all read this. I'll let Evangelist William read this over there in John 15:10. In the Gospel of St. John 15:10. Now, I get what it say, but I want y'all to know why it's saying that. Because over here in Colossians 2, he's telling us to beware of any man spoil you through the philosophy, vain deceit, and after the tradition of man, and after the remnants of the world, and not after Christ. So things should be done after Christ. So when you read John, read that for us, Evangelist, will you?
Yes, John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love.
Amen. So he's telling us to keep his commandment or keep the word of God so we don't get caught up into the remnants of this world. Let me break down a couple of things. First of all, when I think about the remnants of this world, a lot of things come to mind. But he's telling us not to be part of that, not to be in the world, but don't be of the world. Stop operating under the principles of the world. Stop thinking you have to operate under the principles of the world. Now, I got a couple of witnesses in here right today. I mean, when I look at Evangelist Renee, I look at Evangelist Sharon, they didn't get their healing based on the things of the world. So that shows you right there, you don't have to go by the world's principles. You don't have to go by the world's way of doing things, see? So when you think about the remnants of the world, the basic principles or basic truth on which they operate on, they theology or their theory, how they base things on, Jesus said, don't go after that. See, because that will hinder you. That will spoil you. That will get the things that God is putting in you. It'll get it right up out of you. So he says, the remnants of the world, that that means, I don't know. Anybody want to comment on that? Because we need to get into that. What is the remnants? What is that? What that look like? Anybody?
Say that would be being worldly, doing the things of the world, the sins of the world.
Amen. It's man's doctrine. It's his philosophy. It's his principles. It's how he sees things. It's his groundwork. It's his underpinning, how he underpins things, how he supports things. So he's telling us over here, if you're not to be part of that. After, he said, in other words, don't go after the remnants. So don't go after the principles of the world. Don't go after the things of the world. That's what Jesus said. Now, if you'll keep my commandments, if you'll abide in my commandments, and my Father in you, you'll ask anything. That's what we're to live at, not in the principles. Not in the principles of the world. He said the remnants of the world and not after Christ. So when I see that, I think about their philosophy. They got this ABC concept where it's all about what they've constructed. It's all about their laws. Don't go after that. Because, see, man's subject to make any kind of law. I mean, and we all are witnesses to that. Look what they just passed, the law that, and you people who been in their supervision, you have to be careful how you operate now. As a Christian, you have to, you know, it's almost a catch-22. You're between a rock and a hard place, in a way. But then again, like I said earlier, you take that as an opportunity to you take it as an opportunity. That's the way you look at it. So when they say that you can't say certain things in the workplace, you have to handle these laws of the world in a certain way. And now I'm going to tell you too, you need to pray God for guidance. Because, see, if I had to marry somebody that's gay, I ain't doing it. If I have to marry somebody, or if I have to live by man's law, I was looking at them the other day, they passed another law, things that you have to succumb to. Everything from, I mean, I just don't see it the way they see it. But if you're going to work in the workplace, you have to respect these people. And I've always said respect people. I don't care who they are or what. But by the same token, you take that opportunity. And if you don't do nothing but just tell them you're a Christian, see, that's not a problem. You can tell people that. You can tell people who you are. But you see, there's no law against that. For you, that's your First Amendment. That's your first right to say who you are, what you believe in. And they can't do anything about it. Well, see, that's the opportunity that you're taking. You know, hey, let me tell you right off. I ain't trying to persuade you, even though I probably wish you would be a Christian, but I'm not trying to persuade you. I just want you to know who I am, what I am. I was telling somebody this, a guy this yesterday. I said, well, I just want you to know, because I know there were some non-believers around, so I just took that opportunity to say, you know, I just want you to know that my doctrine is a little different than man's doctrine. And see, because that's the remnants of the world. I knew that what he was all about. So I said, well, and I wasn't trying to bash nobody else. I just told him I believe in the word of God. I believe in the word should be over everything. And then I quoted the scripture to him. Well, I let you all hear it too. Matthew 4:4. I'm asking evangelist William to read that, Matthew 4:4. But you see, you have to tell these people the truth, man. Evangelist Sharon, she texted me the other day. She said, Pastor, just keep on telling the truth. Just tell the truth. Well, I thank God for that, because there's somebody want to hear the truth. But in Matthew 4:4, we won't be too long.
Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out the mouth of God. Amen.
Listen, brothers and sisters, it is written. It is our law. It is our written law. Just like you abide by other law. Well, it's written in our law that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's our law. Well, that's my written law. That's what I got to go by. I'm sorry. This is what I go by. So that's what I was saying, is that I have to go by my written law. And my written law tells me God made Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. And I don't want you to be offended, sir, but that's what my law. Oh, I know what the law of the land is, but I'm telling you what my law is.
Amen.
See, I'm not required to live by that doctrine. I'm required to live by the word of God. And Jesus says, she just read it a moment ago, if you keep my written word or my commandments or the word of God, you shall abide in my love. I want to live in his love, man. Even as I have kept my father's commandment, I kept his word, and I abide in his love. See, that word abide means to set up residence, to live in. I'm going to live in his love. See? See, when you start doing that, you get away from tradition. Listen, brothers and sisters, you need to get away. You need to do everything that's possible to get away from tradition.
Amen.
Yeah, see, because tradition can be a hindrance to you. And we may get into that next week. I don't know. I just be whatever the Lord say do, that's what I do. But I assure you, like we were talking about prayer on yesterday, get away from that traditional stuff. Ask God what to say. You don't want to be no phony. You don't want to pray like the world pray. That's the way the world pray. That's part of the remnants of the world. That's what the world does, see? Anything that's a remnant is something of the world. Like Sister William was saying, see, that's the worldly way of thinking. That's how they base things. That's their grammar. That's their value. That's their foundation. We don't have to do that. God got us already, man.
Amen.
It just like I'm going to show you, for instance. I've listened to a lot of preachers, and they got a lot of definition for the word love, for instance. But I can give you a definition for love. And it may sound, I don't know how it's going to sound to you, but we are required to love as the Lord loved. Now, everybody ain't there, and I get it. But God have given us the tools to love like he loved. Now, I know all the definitions, some of the Greek, some of the Hebrew. I get all of that. So, you know. Yeah, but this is what this means. Now, I'm going to tell you what it means. She just told you we have to live by what the word of God says. And a good place to start is in the book of John, because John just really talks about love, because he starts by saying God is love. He tells us that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's how much he loved. We were on our way, but God love have us to understand John 14:23. That's one of them. I'm going to ask her to read that.
Yes, John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Amen. Amen.
And we are required to love like he loved. In John 15:10, we're going to start there.
15:10. John 15:10. If you keep my commandment, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abided in his love.
Amen. Now, that means living in that love. Now, if you're living in that love, y'all watch this. Watch this. Watch this. If you're living in that love, you'll be able to do John 15:12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
And we can love just like he loved. Just like he loved, we can love. He said, love like me. Yeah.
Amen.
We are required to love like God loved, man. People don't tell us that. They don't want us to love like that. Just love one another. Now, if you love somebody, you're going to give them the word of God. I just cut through all of that, okay? Okay. Anyone have any comments, anything you want to share? But if you love, Jesus said, now, if you love me, you're going to love like I love. If you're going to abide in his love, you will love like he loved.
And if you believe you were made in his image, you will love like he loved.
Amen.
Amen.
Any other? Have any other comments? Anybody? Press one. Hallelujah. Anyone, press what? If not, y'all don't want to miss the review for Sunday. Looking for the review for Sunday.